Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atula, hanging out with you on a Texans Ticket Tuesday. And, of course, we're doing that in person today at Texas Star Grill Shop, 59 and Shepherd. And I've been given some clarification. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be here to win, but you got to be here to enter.
Yeah. Just come in, enter. And we know people are busy.
So, yeah, you got a couple hours. If you're on your lunch break, come out, say what's up. Get you some Nico's. They're out front grilling it up, and those kebabs are delicious.
Man, they really are.
Apparently, we got some OG sauced wings also.
I just had one. They're delicious. And remember, we're doing on Wednesdays the $50 gift card for a chance to win the grill.
Yeah.
Well, the buddy of the guy who won it last year is here.
He came through.
So it could be you.
And they've got all sorts of deals. Deals on Blackstone griddles. Deals on Rectek pellet grills.
Mm-hmm.
So Rectek, yeah. Lot of stuff here for you at Texas Star Grill Shop. But yeah, man, it got a little heated in a different way on Sunday, where Stephon Diggs, he has a little history with Jaire Alexander and the Packers, and that showed up on the field. There was a little bit of chirping back and forth, and then that even continued. Stephon Diggs kept that same energy, as they say, even after the game, saying that, he ain't never the bigger person. Mm-hmm. he kept that in there. And D'Amico on the coach's show, which is always an interesting listen, because
it feels
like he gets more comfortable with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris. They do a great job of asking good questions as well. He was kind of asked about that kind of chippiness that came through mm-hmm. in this game, and I was interested in his response.
Yeah, for me, I told our guys, it's like, you're wasting energy. I don't like wasted energy. Like, when we're chirping after the play or before the game, we're getting into it with the opponent. Like, how does that help you? Mm-hmm. Like, I want all of that energy that you have to chirp after a play. How about putting that into some more energy and effort to finish a block to finish on a catch? That's where I want the energy going. Like, it's wasted energy. It has nothing to do with the game. It really pulls your focus away from your job. Yeah. And that's why I don't like all the bickering and back and forth. Like, I want guys focused on us. And mm-hmm. there I felt like, versus the Packers, I did feel like we got a little too chirpy, a little too chatty, pushing after the plays, but we weren't doing what we needed to do within the play. Right. And that's where I have a problem.
It was funny, because he kind of told us who he said that to, because he said, how about you finish on a block? How about you finish on a catch? Well, who were the guys that were the chirpiest? Titus Howard and Stephon Diggs. And so he kind of let us know there. But fans are going to love that, and I love that, because it's not a good day to sometimes that works, and sometimes you get fired up, and it translates to the field. But we talked about it yesterday. It didn't translate to the field, at all. The Packers were the ones that were certainly feeding on that.
Yeah, and it, when he said that, it didn't feel like that was theoretical.
Right.
It didn't feel like this is just my thought process on it. It felt like he was speaking specifically, as you mentioned, to what happened there. And that felt like a frustration for him. In addition to all those things, right, it feels like we're speaking to what is actually happening with this Texas team, where, hey, there's energy. You guys are, celebrating first downs and doing a hand twirl and pointing forward. And you guys are, getting involved mm-hmm. with the other team before the game and during the course of it and, jawing at them. But ultimately, the main thing has got to be the main thing. And it's got how to apply and show on the field. And I do wonder, like, how that shows up, because it almost feels like it kind of goes opposite of one of the things that we talked about earlier, which is, you know, the offensive line coming to the defense of the quarterback in some ways. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's exactly what he's speaking to, though, there. It feels like sometimes those are signs that you are involved in the game, that you have that energy and that fire for what you need. But he's not wrong in saying that that has not shown up. And I think that's been the main frustration for Texans fans with this Texas team, is it feels like even as, you know, maybe some responsibilities are missed at times, it feels like also not only are you not getting the job done at times in various places, you're also, it doesn't feel like you're putting forward the effort that would indicate that you have done enough to try and get to that goal.
Absolutely. And plus, you know, after the way the game went, it looks even worse, you know, in retrospect. You know, like first of all, I think, you know, I was kind of said earlier, I'm kind of glad you brought it up, because I was thinking the same thing. You know, I think the sideline thing with CJ Stroud is kind of a bad look now in retrospect. Had they won the game or been more impressive and won the game, I don't think anybody would have been talking about it, but it does look worse now.
And I always want to be careful. I want to make sure that I frame these things well, because there's a lot of negative conversation that we're having here, and I want the acknowledgement that there was a lot done to make this game gettable.
Yeah.
Right? Your defense did a lot. You won the turnover battle 3-0, right? Your special team showed up in various ways, and in heady ways, in fact, to give yourself opportunities. And I think that's what makes it even more frustrating. It's not that everything was awful. It's that the things that you could have done to easily get yourself over, it felt like you left on the table here. And so in trying to get this right, because it feels like DeMeco has already kind of, in some ways, almost made an ultimatum of, like, everything's on the table, it just needs to get changed. One of the things that's an acknowledgement is he is one guy, and when you're dealing with the football team, one guy cannot affect everything. And so DeMeco was asked a pretty interesting question, a poignant question, about how as a head coach you have to coach your coaches as opposed to just like coaching every single individual. And he gave a little insight into how he goes about coaching his coaches and having that filter down.
Yeah, that's a great question. It takes a lot of trust, a lot of delegating, like knowing that I try to do it all when I can't. Like you burn out. So it's just a lot of, I give our coaches a lot of leeway, a lot of trust in allowing them to coach their players up the right way. And if I see something that needs to be changed, I go to the coaches first, right? And that's where that adage comes, coaching the coaches. Like, and I coach the coaches hard to make sure they coach the players hard. Just so I let guys know we're all in this together. We're all together. Like, I just want it done correctly. Yeah. Like, it's not a matter of me having all the answers or knowing everything. I don't know everything, but, and I just want to get it fixed. Whatever we got to get fixed, let's get it fixed. And, you know, for me, when I remember back when I was a position coach, it was just always a position coach took pride in my group. Like, I wanted to make sure my group was the best in the NFL. And that's why I want our coaches, our position coaches, to feel the same. Like, you want to be the best. You want your group to be the best in the league. You want to be the best position coach in the league. Always remind them, like, it's only 32 of these positions. Right. Whatever position you coach, you're one of 32. So it's a privilege and an honor, but it's also an urgency to make sure your players are playing the right way.
Boy, they're really almost introspective this week in what he said, you know, to the press, and certainly right there, you know, on the coaches show. It's a very, you know, we talked about it a couple segments ago. You know, it's a very sort of crucial, not turning point, but pivotal kind of moment for them. And I think he is coaching up the coaches this week as much as anything, especially maybe the offensive line coaches and coordinator, because he said it. And you just mentioned it. Everything's on the table.
Yeah. I know. Chris Stross was a name that when your offensive line coach is one that people are, you know, just outside of the building are talking about, it's either really good or not good at all. And people want to talk about him. I imagine that he has had quite some conversations with DeMeco Ryans in the course of this, because pass protection needs to get better. And actually, DeMeco was asked about specifically what's bothering you with pass protection right now.
Overall, it starts with communicating, right? Communicating, and when I say communicating, that's like everybody being on the same page with, you have these calls, whether you're sliding to one side or you're manning the side, like, know who you're blocking first and foremost. Like, that's the one thing. Know where you're going, know who you're working with so you can be on the same page. So it starts there with our guys being on the same page and then just executing, right? Some of the stunts and games that we've seen, like we just have to be better at knowing how far we need to slide to a side or if we need to set back deeper in protection. So punching with two hands versus one hand is just some technical things, small things that can definitely be cleaned up. So right. That's what I'm encouraged by. It's not like, oh, it's something revolutionary that we've never seen. It's like, no, man, we can clean this up. We just have to play with proper technique every single time and then just execute and finish the right way.
It's fascinating to me to kind of imagine like what those meetings among the coaches and the players are going to be like this week and have been like already yesterday, and they're back on the field tomorrow, because he just said it. I mean, and it's been an ongoing theme. The communication, the communicating. Is that Chew Scruggs? Is that C.J. Stroud? Is that from the sideline to the offense? Is it communication between the coaches and the linemen and like there's so many things that have sort of hindered this offense, and then there's also performance. You know, the performance has not been there.
Yeah, and it feels like it's all the above. I think Ross Tucker, who joins joins Sean and Seth every morning, or rather every Tuesday morning at 7, to talk about these things. One of the things he mentioned, and it's one of the things I thought about a little bit, is you might be kind of suffering from having so much youth at the two positions that you depend on to kind of set protection, right? Juice Scruggs has not played a lot of that much center. In the course of this, and you have C.J. Stroud as the quarterback, is also pretty young and has a lot of responsibility, and those are the two positions that you look at when you come to the line to set the protection. In fact, Fig, if you could help me out here, I have audio from Dan Clark. Now, Dan Clark is a center. He didn't play in the NFL. He played in the CFL, but he played in the CFL for like a decade. And I mean, relatively high level football is high level football. And I found this to be really interesting as we all kind of incessantly scroll on our phones at times. And I found him breaking down what a center is looking at and going through as they step to the football and before that ball is snapped to be fascinating. This was him talking about that.
Step over the ball, I'm IDing the front, whether it's 4-2, 5-down, 3-down. Find the free safety. It depends on where the free safety is. Lots of times people rotate. Yep. Sam, free. I look at it still like a piece of paper. RTNQMWS. Break it down to what the defense actually is. You notice a lot of the time, okay, it's Sam and the free safety will change positions.
Yep.
3x2 set with our receivers. If there's 2 DBs to the field and 1 high free safety kicked over, where's the other guys?
And you do all this in like 4 seconds probably?
Probably I'd say like 10 seconds. Once the play clock starts, we break the huddle, come up probably about 18, maybe 17 seconds, start IDing the defense. Look for the free safety, work my way back down the box, get down in my stance, call out our combination or what's going to happen. After that, you look at your defensive lineman in front of you. What can you do the fastest to hurt me? At that point, you're green 80.
That's a lot of things that he's going through.
Beg your pardon?
Yeah, and look, there's a lot of jargon in there. You don't have to know exactly what it all means, but I think I wanted that to illustrate just how much responsibility is necessary to get every single play correct when it comes to especially pass protection, but whatever you're going for from the offensive line. And that is a responsibility that, and I don't know exactly how it's distributed on this team, because with any team they do it differently. Some will have the quarterback kind of set protection, some will have that center set protection. But regardless, that's a lot of things that you're responsible for. You have a couple of guys that are pretty young doing that, or that have the potential of doing that. And so when he talks about communication, that's what I'm thinking about as well, making sure that everybody not only has a technique to do, but to all be on the same page, and to not only be on the same page, but have the right page flipped to in those instances when you're going up against a defense.
And you would think, okay, so maybe simplify everything, right? Well, it's kind of hard to simplify everything when there's a template out there already made, whether it's the Vikings or the Packers and how they approached them. And we've all seen that stat that's sort of floating around. Like, they didn't even bring that much pressure. The people say, and you mentioned this yesterday, they only rushed with 4 this, 70-something% of the time, I believe, is the number you had. They only brought 4. But keep in mind, that's not necessarily 4 down linemen. That's 4. Like, they're still bringing other people. It's just the looks that they're
a lot of simulated pressure.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Simulated pressure is, you know, is defined as, you know, kind of showing blitz but then dropping out and only bringing that four.
Yeah.
You get the effect of kind of blitzing in some ways because there is that surprise element.
Well, the confusion of like, okay, I expect this
exactly,
but then this guy just doesn't come
right, and then you still get the benefit of not you know, allocating more resources to the rush. You can drop guys out and still cover.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff Hafley used that to beautifully to his advantage. I mean, I was looking at the stats earlier, and I'll have to pull them back up now and think about it, about just, I mean, how few times they actually technically blitzed in the course of this game.
It was less than 30%.
Not a lot of times, and a lot of them, in fact, almost exclusively, if not exclusively, on third down.
Yeah.
And so, it just came down to a lot of, you know, lack of communication. And so I'm interested to see when he says coaching the coaches, what that means and how they're able to get this done, because that indicts more than just the players knowing what's happening. That talks about, you know, obviously Strasser as a community, as the rather position coach, but then also Bobby Slowick all the way up, right? This is his offense. We continue to say that, and like making sure that the offense is together all the way down, I think still falls within his purview. So getting this together is going to be something that is really interesting to see over the course of this, and it has to happen quickly because, again, they've known that these communication issues pop up, and you're going to I understand this was a tough one on the road, but you're going to have other tough road games, and if you're going to win in the playoffs, you're going to at least need to win in one or two of those away from the crib. And so all these things, they need to get together, and they need to get together quickly, because this Colts game, I don't think that Colts team is anywhere. They don't see you at all in capability, but if you are allowing them to have free rushers and those types of things, you'll give them an opportunity to play with you when they have no business doing so.
You're absolutely right, and you know, the template is set for the Colts as well. They can do some things on the defensive side of the ball, but it comes back to what we heard yesterday, what I think is going to be the ongoing story this week. We'll see what happens on the practice field tomorrow as we get our practice reports. This is how we started the show. What exactly is everything on the table? What is the everything? You know, that's going to be interesting to watch. Maybe we won't even see it because it might be a communication thing between the coaches.
That's true.
You know,
that's an interesting perspective. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, still live from Texas Star Grill Shop. Make some noise for the folks out here. Make some noise. There you go.
How about that?
Got some people in the store hanging out with us, eating some good. I believe I've seen everybody in here get some to eat. I'm very happy
they
about that, because Nico's is out front with some fantastic Greek food. We got some wings in here. But there's also an opportunity to really benefit in a different way. You can register for a pair of bullpen tickets to Sunday's game versus the Colts. We've seen plenty of people get in for that. So if you want to stop by during the course of your lunch break, do that. You will have an opportunity to benefit. Plus, if you just want to, you know, if you're interested in grilling, right, there's a lot of things happening here. They have grill steak workshops and such. If you want to make sure that your steaks get better, I think that's coming up, October 25th?
Mm-hmm.
So this Friday, they have a grill workshop out here. This is a full one-stop shop if you want to make sure that you're grilling to the highest of your potential. And, of course, you can get an extra 10% off if you stop by during the course of this broadcast and get yourself a grill. So this is the place to be, one-stop shop for all your grill needs, particularly today with In the Loop in the building. So appreciate you hanging out with us. Coming up next, about time for us to get our lunchtime confessions going. We'll do that next on Sports Radio 610.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
All right, so I know I'm going to probably get destroyed for this.
These are my favorite.
But it happens a lot. It does happen on occasion. But I'm just going to be honest. This is confessions, man. This is confessions. So the Arizona Cardinals cheerleaders, I don't know if many people noticed this on the television broadcast.
Okay.
But it happened. So the Arizona Cardinals cheerleaders last night were bumped from the sideline, not for anything they did. They just decided, hey, we can sell some more premium seats where these cheerleaders sit in the corner, you know, stand in the corners of the, and we've seen it here at Texans games and all that. Some premium seating they added. So the cheerleaders had to watch the game in the locker room, in their locker room. And they only came out for one performance at a timeout in the first quarter and one at halftime. Here's my confession. While, you know, I'm a God-fearing American man. And
what does that mean? And, what are you trying to say?
And, you know, aesthetically, I appreciate the view when I do look
figure
their
out,
way.
I understand what he's saying. Can you explain it to me?
Yeah, I can. Yeah. Explain a little more.
I'm a card-carrying Mexican-American man, to be more specific.
Okay.
And love the view of cheerleaders on the sidelines. Here's the confession. They're kind of unnecessary at NFL games.
Yeah.
They kind of are.
Yeah.
Like college games, you got to have all the hoopla and the, you know, the spirit of everything and all that. And I know I have some friends who are actually, you know, involved with the Houston Texans cheerleaders. They probably are cursing their radio right now.
It seems like that's not going over very well in the building.
It's not going over very well at all. And it's always, you know, but I will say it because it is confession. I kind of feel like NFL cheerleaders are a little bit unnecessary.
Yeah, kind of. But at the same I think that, yeah, you've gotten to a place where you're trying to, you know, keep the energy up in the building as well, and you're finding different things. Like, I know you're a big fan of the mariachi band.
Oh, the mariachis. You got to have. Those are a must.
And so, like, things like that, I do wonder if it trends that way. But, yeah, just the general, we're going to try and get the testosterone up in the building of the cheerleaders, and I understand they do significantly more
than
that.
How much do you really look at them? I mean, you do when they're there. And I appreciate it. Like I said, I mean, they look great. They do great.
But, like, on the sideline during the course of the...
How much? 713-572-4610. Like, nobody is saying, you know, we're anti-cheerleaders.
I don't know. I kind of heard that.
I just kind of feel like... And nobody says we don't appreciate how they look and they perform, because we do. But at an NFL game, are they necessary? Or do they add that much compared to, like, college?
I don't believe Figgy. So, but also, you know, we might be wilding here.
I think so, because look, it's only like two NFL teams that don't have cheerleaders.
Yeah, so the Packers and somebody else.
And the Browns.
Browns.
But yeah, I think they...
What, did Deshaun do that?
They used to. They all quit.
Is that a historical thing?
We could blame Deshaun for a lot of stuff, but not for the Cleveland Browns not having cheerleaders.
Yeah.
That been a thing. But, yeah, I think it's kind of necessary, because when you think of football, you think of cheerleaders. But I don't think it's like – I don't know anybody that's coming to the game just to see the cheerleaders.
Well, yeah.
Unless 281 said the Dallas Cowboys would disagree with you. I feel like that's a very unique situation, and because of the longstanding history that's there.
You're right.
But also, Nick Goes Vest Mode on YouTube said, Lopez, how do you say you have low T without saying you have low T?
No, man. Look, I that's the first thing I said. Oh, I look, and I appreciate – Like any as
from the 832, John hates women. It is what it is. I mean, look, if the shoe fits.
I did say I was going to get destroyed, and I knew I was going to get destroyed. But trust me, I appreciate what I'm looking at. All I'm saying is, and look, I know Hannah's probably going to text me. What are you doing? You know,
hi, Hannah.
Hey, Greg Grissom's probably going to text me. What are you doing?
Hi, Greg.
This is confessions. I am honest about things. I don't think NFL cheerleaders are all that necessary.
Probably too honest. Yeah. The thing I love about this, before I go ahead and move on, I agreed with them the whole way, and I'm going to get.
And you're not getting any of the.
It's so good.
You're not getting any of the hate. Did he just say mariachis are a must? Yet cheerleaders are unnecessary. Yes, I did, and I will double, triple, and quadruple down.
Basically, what he's saying is, if the cheerleaders want to stay, they better play an instrument.
Well, the mariachis get the crowd going. The cheerleaders are like, oh, look, the cheerleaders. She's hot. That's what you do.
You're saying
like where the mariachis get you going.
We've gotten tired of cheerleaders.
Yeah,
we've
which one do you complacent. Like the best? That one. She's the hottest. No, she is. That's all you do.
That was John Lopez, by the way. That had nothing to do with me. Watch this. These are my confessions. I think we already know this about me, as I've done this job for a few months now, and I've already made it abundantly clear that I have a problem with screens as an addiction. Hi, my name is Reginald Atitula. I recognize
you brought all of them on the road.
I brought all of them on the road, and my confession is I still feel like I don't have enough. I have my laptop. I have a tablet that is currently used to make sure I'm tapping in with the people. I got the text line. I got the YouTube there. I have my phone, and I still feel like I'm not getting everything.
And he's not exaggerating.
I feel naked in some sorts, not having enough things at my disposal, not having enough screens.
It's one of those, like the comedians, it's funny because it's true.
It is 100%. This is not a joke. It's not, if it was, it wouldn't be a good one. I don't think anybody's like laughing in a big way. No, I've learned about myself. Yeah. I am very used to having like three screens at any given time to make this thing go.
You caught me on a good day. I actually brought the laptop. Usually I just bring my phone on these.
I don't know how you do that. I sincerely don't know how you make this shake with all of that. But yeah, I think I have a problem, and I might need to do something about it, except I absolutely won't. Watch this.
These are my confessions. So you guys are out there at Texas Star Grill Shop eating some good old food and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys asked me the question, how did that make me feel?
Yes.
And I got to confess, I did something I never did since I've been working here in this building.
Oh.
I actually DoorDashed some food, man.
Oh, wow. That's good.
I never did that before, man. I feel like I really don't need to, because the show is only, 4 hours? And after the show, I can just go get something to eat. But y'all made me DoorDash some doggone food, man.
Good for you.
Man, I DoorDash.
Lopez will pay for you. Yeah, you. Don't worry about it.
Hey, you should reimburse me, man. That bill was doggone high, man.
I know it was.
And the crazy part about it, man, I felt like I could have just waited. I could have just waited after the show and got it for way cheaper.
Yeah, but see, it's that, you know, your senses, your sensory, the sensory part of your brain was just like, okay, I got to eat now. They're talking about eating.
Yeah, so I felt left out, so I end up DoorDash. I had to download the app and all that stuff, man.
So, wow, so you did the whole initial setup. You didn't even have the app on your phone.
I didn't because I never
really used it.
I got some Chipotle.
That's right.
Chipotle.
All right, shout out to Jameis.
Yeah, got me some Chipotle.
I will still ask you, because I was going to ask you off air. Do you want me to bring you some wings after the show? I am heading back that way.
You can still bring me some wings.
I got you. Hey, I got you. I can do that.
I'm never saying no to no doggone wings.
That's I got right. you, my boy. Watch this.
These are my confessions. All right. You know, I already got some people kind of riled up. Although a lot of people are with me on the text board.
See, somebody said you prefer dude cheerleaders. What's that?
Yeah.
Is that? Oh, yeah. That's an A&M thing, right?
Yell leaders is what they called, right?
That is not true. Dude, look at all the others. See, y'all are cherry picking that text right there. A lot of people are agreeing with me. But anyway, since I already got people.
You must have went to A&M, too.
On Lopez comes in from the YouTube.
I already got people riled up. I might as well keep them riled up. Because,
oh, no. That's never a good start.
And I'm going to start it with this comment here. You know what I love about homeless people?
Oh, no. I'm going to go ahead and walk away from this. That's ISO.
And if we're being honest, by the time I finish this confession, the majority of people are going to agree with me. There is nothing. Look, homeless situation, we all know, awful, tragic. People here have helped and are helping. In fact, let me give a shout out to Bill's organization here.
Phil's
organization here. One of our listeners, our great listeners, Crossroads at Park Place. They do a lot of great work with the homeless, feeding and giving them clothes and all that. So it's not about the homeless. But if we acknowledge that there are homeless people, we can acknowledge that. Right? There are homeless
people. He's trying to lure me back into the
camera. No.
That's what's happening. He's trying to make me associate with his bad take.
Do we agree that there are homeless people?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Okay, you are so far out of this. Here's what I love about homeless people, because it happened this morning, and it happens every once in a while, and it's like a little gift from, you know, as a driver that you get. I love when homeless people start directing traffic. I had a dude this morning. I was coming down Houston Avenue, and I was getting to the highway, and there was a truck backing up with a trailer, and he had a bad angle, and some traffic was coming. The homeless dude on the corner stood up, started waving his t-shirt, stopped traffic, got the truck out of there, and then started waving the traffic through. Dude, that is awesome. I've seen that a few times. Like, they're actually performing a service while homeless.
I don't like the fact that you said actually there. Like, they're not human beings.
Actually performing a service. You know, as opposed to, you know, being homeless and trying to make their way.
Like, I still don't like what you're doing here.
You are so awkward with this.
Don't like what you're doing here.
Dude.
I feel like you did not navigate this well enough.
I'll navigate it very simply. When homeless people direct traffic, I think it's awesome.
It is. Like, I think when anybody has an opportunity to, like, you know, just help each other, I think that's awesome. They're like, hey, man, I'm here. I got you, man. It's akin to when somebody is, like, trying to parallel park. And then you see the person, got room. You got room to the curb.
And they
start giving you direction because they know you're not going to make it. You know? I appreciate that as well.
Yeah. So there you go. Did I navigate that well enough for you?
All right, let's ask the people in the crowd. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Did John navigate that well?
How about, I got two up and two down.
We're kind of split here. I feel like we got a split here. Apparently, I have to confess that I don't know how to act when I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out and I hung out with Sean Pendergast and the various other people.
Steak night
at Legacy Cigar Lounge in Stafford. That was fun to go do. But I didn't realize that I hadn't eaten all day. And I guess, you know, I did the thing kind of subconsciously where you're like, I know I'm going to go eat later, so I'm not going to eat. When I ordered that steak, when I tell you I devoured that steak, I ate that steak so fast, and I feel really bad about that. So I don't know if you've noticed, I've been very cautious in the way that I've gone about these kebabs.
No,
and stuff
go
today.
For it, man.
Because I was like, you know how you do something and then you stop and you think about it and you're like, oh, that was embarrassing in hindsight.
Mm-hmm.
That was how quickly I ate that steak in front of them good people at the cigar lounge where we were having fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, that made me more cognizant of the fact that I probably should handle myself, equip myself a lot better.
No, man, you did good. You should order two steaks.
I almost did.
You should have ordered two.
And that was, I was just like, that is too much gluttony at this point. People want to know, John, your take on the Lingerie Football League. Is John Lopez trying to get fired is a question that came through from the 619.
Look, a listener from the 713, I literally just saw a homeless guy directing traffic near the Med Center on Bissonnette. That's one of the greatest things to witness. It's awesome. It's a service.
Yeah.
They're doing good.
Yeah, they're doing wonderful things.
Yeah.
I just need you to frame it better. Fig, you got one more? Watch this.
These are my confessions. So I might be the only person that really find this hilarious, but whenever I go to a restaurant and get some bad service, and they're just so bad to the point I just kind of start laughing and going with it. that happened to me yesterday. So I went to a place to get some takeout.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I walked in, man, it was two people standing there, and they just got quiet, and they just looked at me like a deer in the headlight.
Were they fighting?
No, they wasn't. No, they was just having a regular conversation. So I'm like, dang, I felt like I walked into a restaurant, a whites-only restaurant in the 1950s.
Hey, yo.
I'm like, am I in the right place? I almost made an executive decision to act like I left something in the car and just go somewhere else. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to roll with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I ordered my food. I was ordering some food, and I had a question about a certain flavor or something. And the guy was like, man, I don't know what that is.
He worked what? There?
Yeah, he worked there. Yeah, he was taking my order. He was, first of all, he was talking real low the whole time, so I kept having to say, wait, what you say?
Yeah.
And so I pointed at the flavor. I'm like, what flavor is this? I see three different flavors. I'm like, is this all separate or one? And he was like, man, I don't even know what that is. So I kind of chuckled a little bit. I was like, you know what? All right. I'm like, I'm going to go with it. Let me get that. And he like, man, I don't even think we got that. So I was just staring at him like, all right. So let me just get a different flavor then. And so the guy, it looked like he didn't want to take my order. So
what like, was it?
It was just some wings. I ain't going to say.
No, I'm saying, what was the issue? Was did you ever figure out what was going on?
No, I don't know.
They were having a bad... Somebody got in a fight in the kitchen or something, I bet.
I have no idea, man.
Had to be. Had to be something like that.
I had no idea, but it got real awkward when I walked in.
Kitchens get heated. Yeah. They get very heated a lot of times.
Yeah, so... No, I always appreciate, in a weird way, whenever I get some iffy service.
Yeah.
That... I even left a tip.
There you go.
I'm like, hey, you a bold brother. Hey, you probably ain't gonna get no more tips after this one.
So, yeah, I'm still wondering what happened there.
I have like, no idea, but I almost turned around. Like, you know what? Maybe that's a sign. Mm-hmm. That maybe I need to go somewhere else, but I went with it.
Were the wings good, though?
It was pretty good, man.
All right, that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's all that matters, then.
There you go. This is your Lunchtime Confessions here on a Tuesday in the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We are live from Texas Star Grill Shop here at 59 and Shepherd, having a good old time. And coming up next, let's get into college football on a Tuesday, including what was my single favorite call of any college football play ever. I'll give that to you next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You got myself, Reginald Atitula, and John Lopez at Texas Star Grill Shop at 59 and Shepherd. And back in the studio with a nice compliment of Chipotle is our guy Figgy Fig hanging out. We appreciate
Chipotle.
You. That's right, Jameis. Some text that came in during the course of that break. John would love to see a homeless cheerleader directing traffic. And then also 713 Figgy, they were asking, were they about to close when you got to said service?
No, they wasn't. It was like around 6 p.m. and it was a sports bar type of place.
Yeah, this doesn't make sense.
I know. There had to be a fight. There had to be an argument.
It was weird. It was super empty. I was the only person in. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know what happened, man.
Mm-hmm. That is weird.
I just figured they'd never seen a guy with colored hair like this.
So maybe
they got a little scared.
That's weird. All right, well, as we continue trying to figure that out and we'll continue broadcasting from Texas Star Grill Shop, let's get into some college football on a Tuesday. It was an interesting weekend of college football. We already talked yesterday about how Texas went ahead and allowed Georgia to get them, right? Georgia came out, looked more like the Georgia that we are used to seeing. They kind of thumped Texas. Texas had a little bit of a quarterback situation, ultimately benching Ewers for a period of time before they went back to him. That all happened, and that was fine and good. However, Lopez, I would like to introduce you to my favorite call of any college football thing that I've ever heard. And this is via Eric Collins, right? In the course of USC Maryland, a matchup of Big 10 foes, right? Noted historical Big Ten rivals.
Yeah.
USC and Maryland. And during the course of this, Maryland was, you know, down, and they're trying to get themselves into Trojan territory as time is ticking down. And so rather than spiking the ball, Maryland tried to hurry up and get a playoff, and that backfired in a spectacular way. Tell me if you can hear how that backfired with this call from Eric Collins.
Maryland, they're not going to clock it.
Yes, it was Maryland's homecoming at SECU Stadium there. They were down 21-7, about 8 seconds left in the first half, so they're trying to go and get points. They're on the 25-yard line thereabouts, and just a fumbled snap and all those things. But one more time for the good people, a call that I will never stop appreciating for the rest of my life.
Penny from heaven! Oh, my goodness! Chicken salad deluxe! Record holder in Cleveland. Oh! What just happened? happened! Brandon Miller happened! He's never made a free throw as a pro! But he has now! I love Leaky! Oh, just ripped it away from him! Just tuck it! Oh! Ecstasy! Tough chance.
That is.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's Eric. That's Eric Collins.
That's a lot.
He is the guy who gave you the Maryland call there. Yeah. He is also the TV play-by-play for the Hornets, yeah. The team that you will be seeing on Wednesday when the Rockets start their season. And yeah, he does this.
That is a lot.
he does this. And he
kind of sounded like Sean Pendergast when the Nico injury went down.
Oh! A little bit. You're not wrong in that way. So, yeah, I appreciate him bringing some of that excitement, mm-hmm. You could say, to a little bit of college football. Some other things that happen around college football. I found this to be interesting because Oklahoma, they have not been good.
They have been bad.
They have been flat out bad, and it's not been the defense. The defense has actually been a lot better this year. It's been the offense.
Mm-hmm.
And to that end, they fired their offensive coordinator, Seth Luttrell. And I kind of felt bad about this.
You did.
They've lost five wide receivers to injury.
Oh no, we've talked about that. No, it's been awful. But their offense has been really, really bad. I mean, aren't they like 100-something, 120-something in the
that's
NCAA?
Correct. 128 in offense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean
you're Oklahoma. That's why he gets fired.
Yeah.
You know, you're Oklahoma.
But I mean, when you think about losing five wide receivers.
No, I get it. Yeah, but you're Oklahoma.
Yeah, and I guess you should be able to tote the rock somehow. But yeah, yeah, that is just I felt a little bit bad in that situation. In a similar situation, also Andy Ludwig stepped down as offensive coordinator for Utah. They haven't been able to do anything offensively, especially with Cam Rising being hurt.
And they replaced him. And they replaced him with a guy whose offense last year was even worse.
Mike Badgekian.
Badgekian. Yeah, that's the guy. Okay. Like his offense last year was even worse than. It is now. Like, it's so intertwined, sort of inbred, a lot of these coaching circles.
Mm-hmm.
And they just go back to the same guy that wasn't good in his last stop. So that's what stood out about that firing to me.
So, yeah, those are some of the kind of coaching changes that were made. Mm-hmm. One of them, I understood that one. I was just like, okay, well, that Utah might not be in that same space. The Cam Rising time might be over, and they're making some changes. We might not have to have that same fear of Utah when it comes to at least what's happening in the Big 12. In the Big 10, going mm-hmm. back there, we have been fascinated with Kurt Cignetti's Windiana, looking like they're trying to
Google him.
A 10 Windiana, maybe.
Yeah. Dude, what a win. What a win. This was enormous for Cignetti and Indiana. I mean, Nebraska is no chump by any stretch. And I think they had the number four or thereabouts defense in the country. Indiana put 56 on their ass. 56-7, 343 yards of offense in the first half. And don't look now, Adam Spillane. I'm really pulling for Indiana just because of Adam, because I want to see him actually like that team. He went there, and he loves Indiana, and he loves the team, but he's always, like,
real
skeptical.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they haven't played Nebraska yet. Well, they have now, and they beat them 56-7.
Yeah, they beat
them. Oh, they still got Ohio State and Michigan. Well, Michigan stinks, and, you know, you're pretty damn good team. They have Washington at home at Michigan State. Then they have Ohio State and Michigan. Yeah, you're probably going to be an underdog in those, but, man. Indiana. How long until Oklahoma, USC, and Florida State try to hire Cignetti?
That's got
to
be happening right this moment.
Right?
Like Cignetti immediately coming in at an Indiana program. That if we got Adam Spillane on the phone, in fact, we'll talk to him tomorrow. I'm sure that he'll let us know how uncommon it is for Indiana to do this. And so they're doing a great thing. The only thing is that they have to navigate their quarterback, Curtis Rourke, dealing with an injury. He had a successful surgery on his thumb, and they're trying to feel good about it, but they're not exactly sure when he returns. He's expected back at some point during the season, but that's going to be necessary for them to continue doing what they're doing. Rourke has been good for them thus far. Some other things as we continue getting into college football on mm-hmm. a Tuesday. Kenny Dillingham, Arizona State head coach, I found this to be really interesting, man. They lose a game this weekend, 24-4. 14, and you know, to Cincinnati in the Big 12, and they're just not in the greatest way. Kicking was abysmal in the course of this game, and after the game, he got a little indignant. He started throwing people under the bus.
You can be aggressive, but just because you convert doesn't guarantee that you make it one possession. So you would hope that you can make, you know, a kick, one of those, but our kicking game's atrocious. So if you can kick and you're at Arizona State, email me, right? We're going to have kicking tryouts on Monday. So bring it on, kicking tryouts Monday. Let's go.
Later that day.
I'm serious. We're going to put it out on our social. We're going to have a kicking tryout on Monday. We got to find somebody who can make a field goal.
Yeah, he doubled down on, I'm dead serious. Well, he ultimately walked that back. Later on that day, he said, I would like to apologize. In my post-game press conference, I talked about our kicking game like I do offense, defense. However, the kicking game is always directed at one player. I should not have done that, and I apologize. This team's losses will always 100% fall on myself.
They're still having tryouts. Did you know that?
I was trying to find out if they still have the tryouts.
So, hey, man, why not, you know?
They still need to get the kicking better.
Yeah,
you probably shouldn't get out there talking down to a kid in that way.
Yeah.
Right?
But they're still having tryouts.
You still need better kicking. You definitely still need better kicking.
Yeah.
Some other things happening. Oregon takes over the number one spot in the AP top 25 poll for the first time in 2012, since 2012 rather, obviously after the University of Texas falls. Some other things I didn't want to mention, University of Houston. I thought that they might have kind of figured some things out after beating TCU at TCU a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and pretty impressively.
Yeah. It felt like their defense was finding a little bit of solidity. Not quite yet. They fall to Kansas 42-14 at Arrowhead. And so I don't know exactly what to make of this team. We knew it was kind of a building year for the University of Houston, but I was starting to get ahead of myself thinking, oh, maybe you found a little bit of something that you early on, but nope, it's going
to
take a little time.
That's the ebbs and flows of trying to establish something in 1 year. You know, you're going to have, you know, it's going to click 1 week. That TCU game, we watched that whole thing. Obviously, it was on national television. And then 1 week, it's just going to revert to, oh, these guys are still learning. So, that's the way life is. I still think they have a lot of confidence there, but no, they're not there yet.
Okay, so I didn't realize this going back to the Indiana game. You have this note, and I missed it. They ran out of beer?
They ran out of beer. Who runs out of beer at a concession? That's how big the game was. At the concession stands in Bloomington at Indiana, they ran out of beer late in the third quarter of their 56-7 win over Nebraska. That's how wild and wired they were, and unprepared for this type of atmosphere for Indiana football. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, they don't. This is not what they do. Like, this is not,
not
how they typically
do. They don't run out of beer in basketball games.
No, yeah, that is what they expect. But yeah, Indiana winning this amount of getting this amount of wins is super uncertain. I mean, this is the most as of right now. This is the most wins that they've gotten in an entirety of a season. The seven wins, that 7-0, more wins than any season since 2019, where they went 8-5. Indiana has not won 9 games. And I'm still scrolling since 1967.
Yeah.
If my cursory research serves me correctly, right? Like, they have an opportunity to do something that is in an entirely different realm there. Was there anything else that caught you in the college football weekend before?
Alabama. I mean, you know, how many different ways can you say it? Don't replace the legend. Replace the guy that replaces the legend, and that guy is Kalen DeBoer. We heard from the legend himself on Feinbaum as well. He weighed in yet again after another Alabama loss. Figgy got this, I'm sure. Let's hear from the legend on Kalen DeBoer.
I don't know who told you, Coach DeBoer, that you can't confront players. Let me tell you something. If you confront them and they want to leave, tell their ass to hit the door. Alabama faking injuries, making jump shots behind offensive plays. What the hell kind of coaching staff have we brought down here to the greatest program in the whole damn world? I blame you, Greg Burns. I blame your ass. Got a coach up there talking about soul searching. Who are you, Jim Baker? Talking about soul searching? Well, I search my soul. We don't need to be doing no soul searching. We need to be doing some coach searching. That's
bar.
That's what we need to be doing.
Here's my
Jim Baker is such the perfect.
That's
reference.
So perfect. Who do you think you are,
reference.
Jim Baker, the legend? You know, obviously, you know Alabama's the premier program of the last 15 years. Here's where it gets interesting for them. I don't think this is necessarily a strictly a Kalen DeBoer thing. I think this is what Nick Saban saw coming. Like, in the SEC alone, how many teams you think have more NIL money to spend year in, year out than Alabama? Just put a number on it.
The number of teams that have more money?
Than Alabama, the premier team in the conference in the country for the last 15 years. But just in the SEC.
I think I go 4?
7.
Okay.
7. They are 8th in NIL money spent in the SEC. And let's be honest, the brand is getting threatened by even bigger brands coming in. Or as, you know, in terms of like traditional Texas, Oklahoma, you already have these other brands, you know, that are in the SEC. A&M, Texas, Florida, Georgia, LSU, Oklahoma, Auburn all spend more money on NIL than Alabama.
I wouldn't have guessed Auburn. Oklahoma was a push for me. Okay.
That's incredible. It's not like this isn't necessarily a hiccup for Alabama. Life might be changing.
And again, you pair that with the outsized expectation.
Yeah.
As I always say, they fired Bear Bryant out there, brother. It's going to be tough. So shout out to Kalen DeBoer. Just I hope your windows stay intact. That's the one thing I constantly pray for that man. All right, that's college football on a Tuesday. Appreciate you hanging out with us in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, broadcasting live from Texas Star Grill.
Yeah, I got
some
great people out here.
Having a blast out here. We appreciate everybody that's come out and seen us, applied or put in and registered to possibly win a pair of bullpen tickets to Sunday's game versus the Colts. That's still available to you for the whole next hour. And you still have one more hour to get 10% off any grills that you go ahead and buy out here. But coming up next, let's talk a little bit more about this pass protection. There's some former players kind of weighed in on what's happening specifically with the Texans. Let's get into that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.